Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, here we are with another episode. This will be number 9, right?
9, 8, I don't know.
Yeah?
Beer math for...
We're just having too much fun, amigo. It's Mick Dagger here across from me as always on Beer Army Engaged. It's the General.
The General.
How you doing, amigo?
Dude, I am traveled out. I am done being traveled. I see you eyeing up my new t-shirt, my new threads there.
I've got something that totally relates to that.
I like Star Wars, but I saw this bad boy. I laughed my ass off. It's a stormtrooper, and he's in the IT help desk. And it says, you know, hey, you got tractor beam problems. You got your death ray issues.
Laser cannon repair.
And he's got his feet kicked up on the table, you know. And, you know, being in the comm field in the military, you know, sometimes that's how I feel that I'm being dealt with.
Death Star. Tech support.
Exactly. So
speaking of which, this is interesting. It's hilarious you're wearing that shirt, because before you even came, I was like, I got to share this with Dustin. You've heard of Empire Brewing Company in upstate New York?
Yeah.
Did you know that they have a Strikes Bach beer?
Strikes Bach beer, huh?
Yeah, Empire Strikes Bach.
Yeah.
Well, Lucasfilm is taking an issue with it and has filed a notice of opposition against the brewery. And they've had this beer now for, 7 years, something like that?
And now they're just finally filing notice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems kind of weak to me.
Yeah. They're saying it's virtually identical in sound, appearance, and connotation to Lucasfilm's The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Sounds like...
maybe they need to call Death Star tech support.
I think so. But
interesting.
Yeah, no, just traveling around. Just got back from the West Coast in the great state of Washington and the city of Seattle.
Did you watch them throw fish?
We went to Pike's Market, but they didn't. They were doing all that. We waited around a little bit, but we never saw any fish thrown. I was a little bummed out. Yeah, I was like, hey, man, I paid my $5. I want to see. No, we didn't pay anything, but they were kind of doing some theatrics and stuff like that. I guess only when you buy fish, and nobody was buying at that time or whatever, and they're throwing fish around or whatever. But it's a really small, little, I forgot the name of the place, because there are a bunch of different vendors. It's not just a fish market. There's, you know, artesian brewers and the original Starbucks. Well, it's not in the Pike's Market, but across the street from it on that main drag. But inside there, you know, it's kind of like, they call it an arcade, but not as an arcade as in video games. Arcade as in like a strip mall type thing where you walk through, kind of like a bazaar type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really, really cool. So,
did you get a PSL?
No.
You know, they're so popular, they now have an abbreviation and a hashtag for a pumpkin spice latte.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't?
No, I didn't, but yeah. I will say that coffee is uber cheap, and it's freaking uber good.
It's uber cheap.
I had a mocha, whatever. You know, it's pretty straightforward. It's like mocha, latte, you know, whatever. They don't come up with much crazy names. And for a shot of espresso is 50 cents. And so, like, there's some people buying, like, 2-3 shots to put in their latte or their mocha or whatever. I just ordered a mocha because I was like, I'll take a mocha.
Because you were only feeling like a mocha.
Yeah. I was like, it was a 16 ounce. I did 8 ounces and I was ready to go run a marathon.
Wow. Wow, that's some strong coffee.
It was out of control, but.
And some great beers I'm sure you had out
there. Yes. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about some of the breweries that we hit up, but I took it as an opportunity. It was a little bit of business and pleasure. I met with some of our vendors. Like CODIS and Tap Handles. CODIS does our online store and all of our clothing fulfillment.
Oh, cool.
Tap Handles is a company that provides our custom tap handles for the brewery.
Well, people need to check out these tap handles too.
Yeah. And then I had the opportunity to go up to Edmonds, which is north of Seattle, not very far, and meet with Neil Fallon, who's the owner and who established American Brewing Company. And I met with Neil last year. He flew out here for the Lighthouse Beer Fest, and their beer was here for a while, and then they've kind of like consolidated efforts because they're getting into canning, and they bought I'll go into it. First, I want to talk about this beer though real quick that we're drinking by them.
You brought back.
Yes. Yeah. So right now this beer was was available here in our state for a while. I don't believe it's being actively sold anymore, but they do have plans to relaunch back into the state. You know, Neil, if you're listening and I misspeak, please don't kill me or whatever. But I believe that's the gist of it. And anyways, it's
at one time, regardless, American Brewing.
Yeah, American Brewing Company was here. They had four brands because we had them in our store.
Okay,
and then we haven't been able to get our hands on it. But they decided that they wanted to pull back because they were in 22-ounce bottles. They weren't filtering, and the to make the trek across the country with an unfiltered product, I think they felt it was probably in their best interest to hold off on doing that. And now they're in a can, and so I brought back the cans because I was digging it. And so, anyways, this is their Flying Monkey Pale Ale, which is a 5.7%. Kind of like the best way I would compare it, and I hate to compare it to other people's beers because they say, oh, well, it's a Sierra Nevada knockoff, but it tastes very...
I wouldn't even go there with that.
No, but I'm saying it's in that same boat where it's not like a typical pale ale.
Right.
To me, it almost tastes like it's dry hopped, and it's not. And Skip Madison is their master brewer, and this guy is like 7 feet tall, and they call him the Wookiee or whatever, but he's a really cool guy. And anyway, so when we had a chance to go up there and visit with Skip and... check out their operations, and they were established in 2011. And Skip Madsen is their master brewer. He's made over 200 beers credited to his name, and he's won a ton of medals, actually 30 of them. And so he's worked, he's got, been bounced around, he started, worked his way up to be a master brewer or whatever. But through that time, over the past 15 years, 20 years or so, he's fathered over 200 different beers. And
wow.
He's won 30 different medals. And then just for American, being established in 2011. So we're talking, what, 3 years, a little over 3 years? They've already won 7 medals, with 3 of them being GABF medals. So, this is no slouch.
That's stellar.
I would say this is definitely an up-and-coming brewery. They're not fucking around.
Not with this monkey on the front of this can.
Yeah, either that, they got the monkey off their back. But, they started with Inception. They had a 15-barrel direct-fired system. And I've already upgraded to a 30-barrel steam-jacketed brew house, and they're already maxing out, capacity on that. They're talking about adding 90-barrel fermenters, and right now, I would say, I'm just guesstimating from looking at their setup, and I have pictures, and I'll be posting that on my on the Beer Army General Facebook profile at some point in the near future, but I would say they roughly have the capacity to do about 7,000 to 8,000 beer barrels. I think if they add those other 90-barrel fermenters like they're talking about, they'll probably get over 10,000. One of the neat things, though, about this brewery and about Neil and what he's done is that they've actually gone public this year. So like 6 months ago. So you can actually buy stock. They're a publicly traded company.
Oh.
And they go underneath the ticker symbol of ABRW. So you can actually buy stock and have ownership in them without, dealing like typical ownership where you're physically buying in. You can buy stock and sell it. And, so it's pretty... I thought that was a really, really neat thing. The only other breweries that I know kind of readily off the top of my head is I know Boston Beer has stock. I know there's a couple others, but I'm drawing a blank right now. But for a small microbrewery like this size, to actually be able to buy stock in them, I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, to do an IPO, that's really cool. And they've got the product to back it up.
Definitely, and they have the metals to back it up, more importantly.
So. 7 feet tall with that many metals, he's kind of top heavy. I doubt he wears them all at once. He'd have to be like 4 feet shorter to be able to have, stability.
He's a very, this is my first time meeting him, and I guess I pictured something different, something more aggressive or something like that, if they call him the Wookiee or whatever. But no, he's a very laid back, charismatic, humble guy, definitely not presumptuous in any way,
Nice.
And really open and showing off the brewery, speaking to me. And they're right in downtown Edmonds, so they're right off the water. And after we visit the brewery, they're right next to a train tracks or whatever. You go across the train tracks, there's restaurants on the water overlooking the Puget Sound and everything. And
oh, wow.
It was very, pretty cool and laid back. But anyway, so this Flying Monkey, it's a pale ale coming in at 5.7 alcohol by volume. I would say this is a very nice, hoppy pale ale. I mean, it's very drinkable. I would say it's not gold color. I would definitely say it's like a more of a, it's clear, but it's more of a golden amberish.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a white head there. There's a little bit of lace been forming since we've been drinking this.
The finish is so smooth. It is so smooth. Yeah, and that's where I get where you're saying, it seems like it is dry hopped, but it's not. But you've got that initial nose feel of the hops, but the minute you swallow and off the palate, it's really smooth. This is one that I could sip this all day long.
Yeah, you get that citrus and that pine, West Coast type style, but it's not... where the body and the mouth feels kind of medium. It's not over the top. And I think
really
it's a
good.
pretty well balanced, even though it leans obviously to the hoppy side. But the flavor, I think it's a little bit more aggressive than a typical pale ale, but I really, really like it a lot. And so you get some of this biscuit flavor you can pick up on there. It finishes a little bit dry, but not too dry. Yeah. And overall, I just think it's a very, I mean, not light, but, you know, it's not a light pale ale, no doubt. It's definitely a little bit more chewier than that, but I could drink a lot of these.
Yeah.
You know, this is not something where it's like, oh, you know, one and I'm good. I could drink a six pack.
We do need to get this out here. And the branding on this is just awesome.
Yeah.
Flying monkey. It's a monkey with a cigar and kind of like a Clint Eastwood expression on his face, wearing an old school aviator helmet with the old school aviator goggles.
They had I don't know if it was a one-off or a seasonal release that I had there also. That was called Night Moves, I believe it was. And it was a rye porter. And so there's some of the chocolatiness of the porter.
Yeah.
With the rye, and the rye wasn't usually rye is pretty spicy, but they didn't have a lot of rye in it. But it was a nice combination. I've never had it before, or that combination, so it definitely came off really well. So
cool,
yeah. So if you get a chance, and you definitely find yourself out there, or you come across this beer, Flying Monkey Pale Ale from American Brewing Company,
yeah, their Dogfight Pale Ale,
yeah, out of Edmonds,
explains the aviator
out
monkey.
Of Edmonds, Washington. Definitely check them out. And as far as your support, we want to continue thanking everybody that's been listening to us and
absolutely.
Following us on Patreon and pledging their support. I want to remind you, if you go to patreon.com/beerarmy,
join our Bravo Force, become
right.
a super soldier,
that's
and
right.
you'll get a nice little treat. You'll get the inside skinny on things that really make us laugh, that really help us get through the days.
Exactly. And so what we do is there's this actual stream, kind of like a news stream of stupid crap, I guess, that we, I don't know if it's stupid, stuff that makes us laugh. And
yeah, yeah.
And if you're, but it's exclusive to Patreon members. So if you don't pledge, you're not able to see it. And anyway, so we came across this really funny video, and I know you saw it, Mick, you were laughing your ass off. And
yeah.
just to kind of frame it up, and again, if you're a Patreon member, you can check this out, but we're going to play a little of the audio for you. But it's a kid dressed up getting ready for Halloween. And in the spirit of Halloween coming up this week, or this Friday, he's in a Minion costume from the Despicable Me
show.
How
old is this kid?
Oh, he's got to be like 1 or 2 years old.
Yeah,
old enough
yeah.
to talk, but the suit is so big, and it's one of those single eyes. But here, just give it a listen.
He does look like a Minion.
He does.
What happened?
Okay. Okay, here, hold this there. Are you getting a picture or taking a video?
He basically does a face plant because the outfit's so big, and he has his little Halloween bucket, and he falls down, and then he's like, hey, I'm good, though. I'm good. Just help me up, you know?
Are you sure that's not the brewer of this delicious beer with all of his medals?
It might be. With all the medals around his neck,
yeah,
he'd
yeah.
definitely fall
top
over.
Heavy. I'm okay.
But, you know, please, as a public service reminder, with Halloween coming up, we know it's a party time, especially on a Friday. Do not have so much beer that ends up being you
yeah.
falling flat on your face. Please be safe out there. So
absolutely.
But
this kid does look really a lot like a Minion. They did a great job on that costume.
They did. It was awesome. But.
Check it out. Hit up beerarmy.org. You can link to Patreon right from there, from the radio section. We have a lot shaking. We have a lot coming up. Our Heroes Never Die segment. A guy that he did a great thing. Tried to remain anonymous, but just couldn't.
Yeah, no, the video went viral. He ran into a burning building and saved the guy, and then just walked away after he did it. But I think John Q. Public wouldn't leave him alone and want to recognize him for the hero they truly was. And he was featured on Jimmy Kimmel. Anyways, we got some of that coming up. And
we'll give you the details on this and our Yikum to Sue coming up later on. We're going to look at horrible excuses people have given for getting out of work.
Really? Well, I got some perverted penguins down in Antarctica, so.
Well, this and a whole lot more. So just keep it locked here on Beer Army Engaged.
Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code Beer Army.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code Beer Army?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer. An informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/beerarmy and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/beerarmy.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Well, we're back, but don't forget, you can connect with us online at beerarmy.org. You can link to a Facebook, Twitter, your YouTube channel, Instagram, all that there. And also recent posts outside of Beer Army, because Dustin has some really good stuff he shared, like the rise of the IPA, as well, beer recalls. What and why? It's another post. You really do a great job in keeping people informed. And that's what the whole thing is. Beer is a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle.
And Beer Army Engaged here is just helping bring that to you and bring you into our world. And we want to be with you as you experience it. So thank you so much for hopping on board. But speaking of experiencing that, with life, you never know what's going to be thrown at you. You never know whatsoever. And when it is, what are you going to do?
That's right.
And you never know who's going to be there to step in the gap.
Victory! So this week, we're featuring, we're putting the spotlight on a heroic man in the city of Lost Angeles, as in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
And this was being reported by Dan Good out of Good Morning America in this past week. And this gentleman in Fresno, California, is an unidentified man, sees a burning building. People are like, one lady's yelling in the video, there's a man inside, there's still a man inside or whatever, and everybody's just kind of standing around, and this guy just shotguns in there, grabs the dude, throws him over his shoulder, and brings him back out, and sets him down.
No, I've heard a little bit of this audio, and everybody was frantic.
Yeah.
Screaming, this woman saying, my father's in there, my father's in there.
I don't know if she said it was her father. I thought she said
somebody was in there.
But I mean, it's just like, when you look at the video, there's a lot of people standing around.
Yeah.
More than one, let's put it that way.
Well, all I know is that somebody runs out with this dude.
Right.
When this building's just fully
flames
engulfed.
Flames coming up through a single story, you know, family residence, detached type, you know, flames shooting through, black smoke. And he sets him down.
Yeah.
Okay. And he walks away. Nobody knows who the hell this dude is. Doesn't know his name.
God.
Get this shit.
Like a superhero.
Exactly, right? Just disappears, man. Like a good Samaritan into the night. And the only thing they know is he was wearing a Dodgers hat.
That's
right?
It.
And so this lady shot some video off her phone, posted it. The shit goes viral. I mean, it goes viral to the point where everybody's like, who is this guy, right? So leave it to Jimmy Kimmel. They track this guy down and they feature him on the show. And you gotta love Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you're a fan or you're not a fan.
I am. He's good.
But I think he's awesome. Yeah. And I think he's always doing the right thing too. And so anyways, he gets Tom Arteaga, I'm sorry, who he ended up rescuing. He's just a truck driver, married father of three children, and he rescued Robert Wells from his house. And so Jimmy Kimmel brought him on live this last Thursday and had some questions for him. Check out. He asked him a bunch of questions, but these two questions I really got a kick out of.
No, do you have a cape that you wear on the weekend?
No.
Have you seen the man that you saved since you saved him?
Yeah, I see him.
You have?
Yeah, I met him.
How did that? Is he very grateful?
He's happy about it.
He is, okay.
He's happy about it. And it kind of really kind of frames
that's
up,
cool.
Tom is just
a laid back dude.
Just laid back and like, hey, I'm just doing, you know, further on as Jimmy's talking to him, like, I'm just doing what anybody would do, right? And the thing is, obviously, watching that video, not everybody would do that because there was a lot of people standing around.
Yeah, it is. We live in a society, they would be so quick to pick out their phones and video something rather than to either stop something or do something positive.
So obviously, Tom's a big Dodgers fan and everything because he has the Dodgers hat on. So Jimmy brings him up on stage. He has his wife there. He even asked his wife a couple of questions like, you know, does he do this normally type stuff? But and again, she was very humble, too. And Jimmy Kimmel rewarded Arteaga with gifts that included tickets to Disneyland and putting him up for a hotel and Disney, you know, or yeah, not Disney World, Disneyland, and a Dodgers jersey. And then there was a guest appearance from none other than freaking Tommy Lasorda, you know, and signed an autograph baseball, did a proclamation on stage and everything for him.
Oh, that's so cool.
Tickets to a game for next year. And then he's going to throw out the opening pitch. And you could see Tom was pretty taken back. I mean, he was kind of had some tears in his eye. And I thought that was really cool. And that's what a true hero is not somebody that's thumping his chest or whatever. Because, again, this guy left right afterwards. He wasn't looking for accolades or any of that. And, you know, like we always say, you know, you never know what's going to happen, you know, when you might be called on a step in the gap. And he just did his thing and he walked away. And it's really cool that they tracked him down and stuff. So
that's really cool because we all need a Tommy Arteaga in our life when crap hits the fan. And you might find yourself being your own.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Arteaga. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that story, dude.
But, you know, it got me thinking about, you know, a fire and stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but, you know, fire obviously is a danger.
Okay? Yeah, it is.
You got Smokey the Bear, you know, and, you know, prevent forest fires.
Only
and everything.
You can prevent forest fire.
And I don't know about you, Mick, but when I was a kid, I was like a freaking madman when it came to playing with fire. I do not know why.
I
don't know what my fascination was, but I'm guessing I'm not the only one.
Well, you're not, but what did you do? I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Well, I can remember two incidences. One was, I must have been about 7 or 8 when I lived in Southern California.
Okay.
Lived out in the desert, the Mojave Desert. And the desert's pretty sparse. But it's crazy how dry stuff can get out there where you're just dicking around, burning something, and all of a sudden it just goes poof.
Yeah.
And I basically started a freaking desert fire that had to have the volunteer fire department. Luckily, and this is the first time I've ever publicly acclaimed it was me because nobody knew who it was. So, Mom, if you're listening, don't come back and get me.
You're grounded, Dustin.
Yeah, they didn't know who it was because a lot of times fires would just start out of the clear blue just because, you know, either lightning or anything, you know, just. It would happen sometimes. So there was that incident. And I can remember later on in junior high when we moved to Wisconsin, I was always about setting up forts, playing soldier and building crap and building tree forts. And I set up this awesome freaking fort. And there was this dilapidated house that was falling apart. And I was able to salvage stuff, you know, plywood and whatever. And anyways, I was able to get a piece of ductwork, a square ductwork about 8 feet tall or whatever.
Now
and I was like,
really curious.
And I was
what'd
like,
do with it?
It was a chimney. I was like, oh, cool. I can have a little fireplace in my tree, in my wooden fort.
You almost made me spit beer out of my nose, man.
I can have a chimney. And you see where this is going, right? So I get a nice fire going. I'm looking from the outside. I'm appreciating what I've achieved, right? Because I got smoke coming out of my chimney, right? And I'm like, this is awesome. I thought it was all smart because
Norman Rockwell painting.
I put dirt in the base to make sure it wouldn't burn the wood, obviously, except for the stuff I put on there. So this is regular sheet metal, you know, because it's ductwork. It gets so freaking hot, Mick. It literally, the plywood that was, because I stuck it in the corner of the fort, right? Starts the wood on fire. The whole goddamn fort goes up in flames, man. And I almost started a goddamn forest fire, man. It was ridiculous.
Meanwhile, you had Bing Crosby playing in the background, right?
It was freaking retarded.
Chestnut roasting. What?
And I'm like, how did that happen, man? I had it in metal. It's like, yeah, dumbass. Maybe the metal got too hot. So.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm serious. I almost had like flying monkey come out of my nose.
Flying monkey. Yeah, I don't know what it is about fire, though. I've always been fascinated, even to this day, you know, fire pits. It's like, I got to make it
mesmerizing.
Bigger.
There's
I got to make it bigger.
There's something about it's weird. It's deceiving. It's like the serenity of a flame. It's weird. But I got a story.
Okay.
I was 5.
Nice. I like where this is going already.
You have to figure, okay, so you say this is 1979,
mm-hmm.
right? I have on, and I have to give a visual here, right?
Yeah, no.
I'm wearing those red late 70s running shorts, you know, with the white trim. So they're really short shorts.
Yeah.
I have on flip flops.
Like in Beer Army Engage 2 video. Yeah,
I had on flip flops. And I think I had on a tank top. But if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a yellow tank top with one of the really shiny vinyl decals of a smiley shirt. Face on it.
I love it.
Like one of those metallic rainbow conglomerations, just all these colors mixed together.
Nice.
So you got a visual of this little 5-year-old kid who's like the epitome of the 70s, and I am standing in front of a tumbleweed in an open field with matches I stole from my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just standing there with these matches, and I tear a match off, put it on there with my thumb on the striking and pad, and I was just flinging them right into the tumbleweed, like, and I'm thinking, and logic, you know, it's like, this is just disaster waiting to happen.
But correct me if I'm wrong, you did it because you thought, oh, maybe the tumbleweed will catch fire, right? But you don't think it will, though.
No, I didn't think it would. I knew it would catch fire, but I didn't think it would. And if it did, it wouldn't be that bad.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I flick one in there, and it's like, boom, and then this tumbleweed goes, boom. And I have, and it was like, tumbleweeds are huge. They're like 3 feet in diameter. Yeah. Right? And here I am, and I'm thinking, well, I can stomp it out. And I look down, and I'm like, I'm wearing flip-flops. And then I just freak out. So I get on my bike, and I go the long way, because this field was south of our house, down a whole street, maybe two or three blocks.
Right.
Open field, no homes. So I go the long way around, and I ride all the way around, and then appear out of nowhere coming down the street, and I see like four fire trucks. All these cars stop. They're putting out this huge grass fire and field fire. And I pull up to my best friend's dad, who was stopping on his way home from work. And I pull up, and I was like, what's going on, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm all Mr. Right? Anderson, right?
What's going on, Bruce? And he's like, oh, some stupid kid started a grass fire. And that's horrible. And I just turn around, and I ride home as fast as I can, like white-knuckled and scared to death. If they find out, I'm going away for a long time.
Juvie, baby, juvie.
But it was crazy. It was just like, it turned into, and that whole time I went out of my way to run away from it.
Right.
In that time, it just turned into this huge grass fire.
Now, I'm assuming they never found out it was you?
No.
But we know now.
And everybody now knows. So if my buddy Aaron Kent is listening to this.
I used you as an excuse. I said it was you that did it all.
Well, his dad, whoever's dad's listening to this, Bruce, it was me.
My stupid kid
was me.
Yeah, it's a crazy. And again, I don't know what it is. I think it's pyromaniacs. I think every adolescent boy goes through it. I don't know if girls do. I don't think they do, but maybe they do. But when it comes to fire and young boys, I don't know, man. Go figure.
So. Well, I was no Tommy Arteaga.
No,
I didn't jump into that tumbleweed and put things out.
No, but our hats off to him. Give a shout out again to Tom. Great job, and you're a true professional.
Way to go, amigo.
So.
Well, stick around. We got our Yikem Tasu coming up. Don't want to miss this. Plenty of insanity. You can't make this stuff up at all.
You cannot make it up.
Beer Army engaged.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BeerArmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BeerArmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superheroden.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superheroden.com.
It's Mick Dagger and the General on Beer Army Engaged.
Well, we're back and things are about to get really weird.
Weird.
Seriously. Because in a world as screwed up as this, today, more than any other day, we have to Yikem Tasu.
Yeah, Mick, and this week, you know, again, this isn't satire. These are actual news stories.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
You cannot. And so coming out of Channel 6 ABC affiliate WATE out of Knoxville, Laura Holm reported about a two-year-old, basically, that was rescued Tuesday night after he climbed into an arcade game at the laundromat. And Colin Lambert's grandmother, she snapped some photos of the incident, and it was one of those clawing machines, you know, with the animals, and he kept playing with the little door, and he ended up climbing in there because he wanted to hang out with the furry animals. So, but real quick, I got a little bit of video here, and I just want to play a little excerpt from, again, filed by Laura Holm.
Talk about terrible twos. What 18-month-old Colin Lambert wants, he gets.
He's a sweet little monster, but he is a monster.
What a grandma.
Thanks, grandma.
You may be blood, but you're driving me nuts.
She said that she knew something was up when she didn't hear the flap, flap, bang, bang. And all of a sudden, there was a flap, flap, no bang, bang. She went looking for him. There he is inside the machine. So
she doesn't keep her eyes on her grandchild. She just listens for his activity.
Well, they're at a laundromat, so I'm assuming grandmother
was doing
laundry.
Maybe she has glaucoma, and she was too busy rolling a blunt. I don't know.
Rolling a blunt. But they called firefighters, and the firefighters was able to get the little two-year-old monster out of the machine. And, yes, they did give him a stuffed animal, so...
Nice. He's a sweet little monster, but he is a monster.
So you go calling, you know, you take it.
Kids stuck in a... Wow. I would have loved to have been stuck in one of those if I was 18 months old. That's like heaven.
I would have been messing with the claw, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Freaking, what's this hanging from?
Take me away from my crazy grandma. Nice. Well, I got something for you.
Okay.
What do you think your definition of extreme shopping? What do you think it would be?
Extreme shopping to me would be like if you have like more than 10 department store credit cards and you shop at 8 hours at a time, or you're one of those people that get up on Black Friday at 0300 to get all the deals. That I would kind of categorize that as extreme shopping.
Well, that's a logical answer.
Okay.
But you're not.
I'm wrong?
You're not from Florida.
Okay.
No. No, because extreme shopping was the excuse given by a Florida man who was arrested after two women reported that he had exposed himself to each of them in separate incidents. So he flashed them at a mall in Sanford, Florida, and told officers he was just extreme shopping.
Okay.
Now, of course, as the cops, they were like, what is your definition of extreme shopping?
Yeah.
And he, and I quote, he says, when you go shopping and you talk to girls and flirt. So apparently in Florida, you can't talk to girls and flirt without your pants around your ankles.
I guess. I mean, I'm wondering if maybe he didn't. Was he doing like a trench coat type thing with no pants on at all? And he's just, you know, he's got the twig and berries just a hanging, or is he actually pulling down his? Because I'm trying to imagine, you know, trying to do that all in one movement. But
well, I'm assuming he was pulling his pants down.
I tell you, I do find that pretty effective.
Because if you see hairy legs under a trench coat, you know, you're going to alert the mall cops.
No,
they'll approach you on your Segway.
Pardon me, but we're wondering what you're doing here.
Listen,
I'm just extreme shopping, mall cop. Try to catch me.
I wouldn't be too forward in saying that. That's, you know. That's what women are looking for. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say all the times that I've used that as a pickup line, it hasn't worked too well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out like, yeah, I'm going to go pick up chicks. I'm going to go show my wiener.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, here's a direct quote that he pulled down the front of his pants and exposed himself. That's right. Oh, and this was he walked into a Victoria's Secret store.
Nice.
And
I like
he did
it.
This.
Nice.
So, hey, you got all these panties around.
I can just imagine him twisting around, too. You know, like, woo,
that's
little
right.
Whirl.
That's right. You know? Hey, ladies, get a load of this.
What's the name of this clown?
His name is Christopher Durrell Glaze.
Hey, you go there, Superman. Get down with your bad self.
Yeah. Extreme shopping. There you have it.
Well, I got...
what do you got planned this weekend?
From extreme shopping, how about truly perverted penguins? That was so bad that the report...
Penguins?
...had to be censored.
What?
Yes. So, Ian Robinson and Gareth Roberts for The Mirror, they've recently stumbled upon some reports from an Antarctic expedition that was in the turn of the last century. It was a fatal 1911 Terra Nova expedition that was out on the down in the South Pole. And George Murray Levick, he endured the coldest temperatures on Earth, life-threatening blizzards, and he survived by eating blubber. To survive. And Levick, he was a surgeon, a zoologist, and photographer. And he was one of the few people that survived the mission as the captain and two others perished in their tent on the Ross Ice Shelf. And through all of that, what do you think scarred him for life?
I would think being the only one that survived in a group and watching your friends die around you, I think that would scar you for life.
You would think that, but no, it turns out that he stumbled upon gangs of single penguins that indulged in a string of stomach-turning sex acts that were kept under wraps until now. So, let me explain. So, he was studying the Adelie penguin colony, and he was so shocked by the findings that they were censored.
What did they do?
He blasted their hooligan behavior that he witnessed, which included male penguins having sex with dead females, abusing and bullying chicks, rape. Males having sex with other males. Penguins we're talking about now. And he wrote his eye-opening observations in Greek, and then he printed just 100 copies of his penguin porn research and the sexual habits of the Adelie penguin for limited use by scientists. And he excluded his X-rated paper from the official Scott report. So I just was like, okay, out of all of that, that's the thing that just did it in for
you. So penguins are into, what's that called? Necrophilia? Is that what that is when you sleep with something dead? Penguins are into necrophilia. They're into rape. Yeah. They're into abuse and all the, wow.
Yeah, homosexuality.
So that's why they, well, whatever. You know, you love what you love.
Yeah, that's
why they wear tuxedos then. They're trying to, like, outwardly pass off something they're not.
If
they're
I lost members of my expedition, though, and I had to survive by eating blubbered, I don't know. I think I'd be more scarred than sex-crazed penguins.
Well, think about it, though. Imagine seeing a penguin. You know, they got their little stumpy legs, their wings, they can't fly, they're waddling around, and you're like, oh, look at these cute penguins. And then they turn on one another and do these horrible things, and you see this day in and day out while you're eating blubber like it's popcorn at a horrible film you can't get out of. Of course you're going to be scarred for life. You know, you're going to ask God questions. Why are they wearing tuxedos?
So nobody knows they're really perverts.
Touche, Mick. That's the reason why we bring these up at Beer Army Engage, because only you can make sense of this in a way that everybody else can understand. I appreciate that.
Well, I would think if I saw that over and over, it would disturb me too. It really would. And I wouldn't think Morgan Freeman does not know why he does not know what he's doing.
Yeah, I think.
Because imagine him narrating that.
I think if I was doing that for a job, I think I'd have to call in sick.
Here's a penguin.
I'd have to call in sick, I think.
Having relations with a dead penguin. It looks like he has happy feet, but she does
happy
not.
Feet.
Anyway. Wow. Well, good way to wrap up Yikem to Sue. This is crazy. A career builder. Careerbuilder.com. You know,
oh,
the
yeah,
website,
the website,
right?
Yeah.
Well, they released a study of the year's most unbelievable excuses for calling in sick.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm sorry, I'd love to go through all 10 of these, but I'm only going to go through a handful of them.
Okay.
All right? One of the excuses was employee caught their uniform on fire by putting it in the microwave to dry.
Nice.
All right.
Okay.
Are you sure you want to have this as an employee? Another one said that he got stuck in a blood pressure machine at the grocery store and couldn't get out.
Stuck in a blood pressure machine at the grocery store. Their uniform?
Yeah.
I was detained by a blood pressure machine at the grocery store and I can't get up.
These are actual excuses given for calling in sick. Here's one. Had been at a casino all weekend, still had money left to play with on Monday morning.
At least the person has their priority straight.
Yeah. And then there's another one that said, employee just put a casserole in the oven.
Well, you don't
come into work. I just put a casserole in the oven. But I have to say, I really like this one.
Uh-oh.
The excuse given was the employee woke up in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it. But there are others. There are others, like, was sitting on the bathroom and her feet and legs fell asleep. When she stood up, she fell and broke her ankle.
Oh, man.
That led me to think about, and it reminded me, I was just like, wait a minute. A few years ago, Gary Busey teamed up with... He teamed up with this company. I can't remember the name of the company, but he did these things called Gary Busey on Business.
Yeah, Gary Busey on anything is quite as funny. Yeah.
There are these sayings. Well, he has, here's one of several excuses Gary Busey has offered up to use. And this one is an absolute gem. If you know anything about Gary Busey's Buseyisms or just his insanity, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But pay attention to this.
I can't wait.
This is an awesome excuse offered up for anybody to use. By Gary Busey.
Here's a good one. I had to miss work because it's my birthday from a previous life. And if I don't celebrate that birthday from a previous life, my future will stop at midnight and I'll be dead in my tracks.
Boom. You don't need any other excuse.
Listen, I think you just say, you shouldn't even have to say anything, but just say Gary Busey. And it's, you know, and if I'm your boss, I'll be like, gotcha, man. Gotcha.
Oh, well, there are so many of these, and these things keep me sane. There are so many of these Buseyisms, and we'll have a few of them for you.
We don't want to have another one?
You want another one?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. I love it. People, if you have never heard Gary Busey ponder or pontificate on life, oh, you are missing out. I highly suggest you
YouTube
it.
You're more than missing out,
you need to YouTube
honestly.
Some of that. I guarantee there's got to be something on the web.
All right. Here's the strange bad hair day excuse by Gary Busey, okay?
Here's one. I had to stay home because the full moon does really strange things to my hair. And that can happen when you sleep in a static-free bed.
A static free bed. Oh, my God. I mean, that dude, you know, I loved him in Point Break. He did such a great job, and then he just went Fruit Loops, man. I mean, holy smokes.
He's nuts. Well, it's a motorcycle accident that I think over the years has really had a negative impact on his. But he's just, and I can't say negative because the guy's so overtly positive. It's crazy. But one last one, because you really like that one where the guy woke up in a good mood, didn't want to ruin his day, right? Well, take this from Gary Busey, the I was sick yesterday excuse. This one's Jim.
A lot of time people do their best to think of a good excuse not to come to work. Here's one. I was sick yesterday, but I still came to work. But I'm feeling better today, and I'm calling in sick so I don't catch whatever it is running around in the office.
Oh, you want to talk about a flying monkey? Oh, my gosh. Gary
just wrapped up that delicious beer. And that's going to wrap it up for Beer Army Engage for this week.
Boy, that went by fast.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. Good stuff.
But we appreciate you jumping on board and, you know, being crazy enough to take a ride.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for doing so. And connect with us online at beerarmy.org. You have your links to Patreon so you can become a super soldier and help us do great things in the community. It might even be your community as well.
That's right. Investments in social enterprises help us out.
You know it. So hit it up, beerarmy.org. Connect to all the avenues in which we're available. And don't forget on iTunes, rate us, review us, spread the word. It's a great resource for you, and it really helps us out and get the word out on Beer Army Engaged. But in the meantime, have a great week, and we will catch you in 7.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.